Welcome to Orphans No More, a radio extension of Justice for Orphans Ministry, a program dedicated to rally the church for the cause of the fatherless, advocating Christian families to adopt and get involved with foster care here in the Capital District, as well as globally, and encouraging and supporting those who've heard and heeded the call of James 1:27. Join your host, Sandra Flack.
And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all He has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind He will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship Him. Don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. That is Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. This is Orphans No More, a media extension of Justice for Orphans. I'm your host, Sandra Flack, and my guest today is adoptive mom and professional artist, Katie Driver. Katie and her husband, Chris, are parents to three teenagers. Let's see if I can get this right. Chloe is 19, Jacob is 17, and Teresa is 15. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. And one little guy adopted from China, 5-year-old Leon. Welcome to the show, Katie.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's an honor to have you on. I just love the videos and the pictures of your family that I've seen on social media. Katie, what led you and Chris to pursue adoption? You had three bios. What led you to Leon?
I had always wanted to adopt, even when I was very young, I'd always had adoption on my heart. But, you know, having three kids and raising them and all that, you get very busy. And it wasn't until a few years ago that the Lord finally laid it upon my husband's heart as well, and we started the journey from there. We had looked at several different options, and we just felt like the Lord was leading us to China because the need seemed to be great there.
Yeah. Now, you had shared with me that really for years you had wanted to adopt. Your husband was just not on that page, and you finally had to just let it go.
Mm-hmm.
And then, and oftentimes that's kind of how God works with the husbands. Sometimes are a little bit late to get on the page, but God does definitely move on their hearts when He's in it.
Yeah, definitely. I think the Lord really worked on my heart for just patience and trusting Him that it was in His timing and not my timing, because I'm very impatient. Like, let's do this now.
Yeah.
And, you know, if we had adopted earlier, when I wanted to adopt, we wouldn't have gotten Leon, and he was definitely part of God's plan for our family.
Yeah. So once you both were on the same page, you and Chris, how did you find Leon?
That's an interesting story. We had just started our process. We were still working on our home study, and our agency said that there was a list of children. They called it a waiting child list. And these kids, they had a harder time finding families for because they had more severe special needs. And I thought, ooh, I don't know, that kind of makes me nervous. We were thinking we were going to adopt a girl with a minor special need, and I think God kind of laughed at us at that point because He had other plans for us. So I just went and looked at the waiting child list one day, and they were children with, you know, cerebral palsy and hydrocephalus and Down syndrome, and his little picture popped on the screen and my heart just leapt. And I thought, oh, he has Down syndrome. I wonder what my husband's going to say, because the process to adopt was so long for him. And he came home from work, and I said, "Hun, there's this little guy. He has Down syndrome. What do you think?" And the first words out of his mouth were, "That's our son." And
when he saw his picture,
we're like, "Wow,
wow, wow!" So, what happened next? Did you inquire about Leon?
We did. You have to ask to pull his file. So I called the agency immediately because we were both so excited about Leon. And they said, "You're not going to believe this, but no one's ever pulled Leon's file in all of the years he's been on the list. And last night, another family pulled his file, and he's not on the list anymore."
Mm.
And I was really sad because I thought, you know, God, we were both on the same page, and we had both said yes to Leon, and maybe You're just opening up the doors for us to look at other needs in children. And so over the next couple weeks, I just was praying. I was like, okay, it's good. He has a family. And then a couple weeks later, our agency called again, and they said, he's back on the list. Do you want to pull his file? And we both said, yes, immediately.
Oh, wow. Now, yeah. Leon was almost three when you adopted him. He has Down mm-hmm. syndrome, like you mentioned. What has it been like being the parent of a child with Down syndrome?
It's definitely been a huge growth curve for all of us. He was very behind when we got him. It was really like he was more of a one-year-old than a three-year-old. He had just started walking. He was still drinking from a bottle. A lot of those are some delays with Down syndrome, and some are just institutional delays, which is normal. I did a lot of reading and a lot of learning about, you know, children who have Down syndrome. And then one of the amazing things is we've all had to learn sign language because he's still not talking. He's starting little bits at a time now. He's been home almost 2 years, but he signs, and it's just been so much fun to learn sign language with him, and he just soaks it up. Mm. So,
I know he's, from the little videos, he's very active and funny and looks like a lot of fun. A handful, but a lot of fun.
He's a lot of fun.
Katie, what's the hardest part been?
The hardest part? I think about a year ago, when he still wasn't talking, I kind of went through a little grieving process of, okay, Lord, is he never going to talk? Because I so badly wanted to hear, you know, what was on his little mind and what's he going to say? And I would hear other children in the grocery store talking to their parents, and I wanted him to talk so badly. And I just had to release that to the Lord and say, if he's nonverbal, I'm going to have to be okay with that. We'll learn sign language. We'll figure out other ways. But I feel like this year, just recently, he started with some small words and he's moving forward with those. So I think that for me was one of the hardest parts, is thinking about a child who might never speak.
Yeah, that would be very hard. And what mm-hmm. about those first months? I know sometimes, well, almost always, kids come, when they've come out of an orphanage, they have that institutional behavior. Did you deal with that?
We did. He had some night terrors at night. He would slap and pinch and, you know, do some behaviors like that, which is very common. I just worked with him a lot. We cocooned for 3 months, where when he would do any of those behaviors, I'd just take his hand and rub it on my face gently and say, gentle, gentle. And he was very open to learning. And those behaviors fell away pretty quickly after he kind of became more secure in his home here. I do believe very firmly that cocooning is very important mm-hmm. when you bring a child home.
So describe for our listeners a little bit, what is cocooning?
So cocooning is really, you're home a lot, and you're making your home base a safe place. You're not putting, we didn't put him in Sunday school, a church. He didn't go to daycare. We didn't really allow anyone else to hold him, but immediate family, not even grandparents, because we were trying to establish that we are his parents and that he doesn't go to just anybody. He doesn't go to strangers or, you know, people at church. So we didn't allow anyone else to hold him, and just really working on that parent-child relationship. And their little world is so topsy-turvy that it creates a security. Like, get them on a schedule. They know when nap time is, when bedtime is, when bath time is. And that schedule and the security of doing the same thing every day helps them attach and bond.
Wonderful idea. I love that. What about your teenagers? You have three teenagers at home. Mm-hmm. How have they adjusted to having a little brother with Down syndrome?
They just adore him. And he pretty much, they spoil him a lot. And he does the typical little brother things. He gets into their stuff and bothers them while they're doing their schoolwork. And stuff like that. But they really bonded very well with him, and he loves his big brother and big sisters. They've also learned sign language, and I feel like it's really given them a heart for adoption and opened their eyes to the need, which I hope will carry on into adulthood for them, that they can also be possibly adoptive parents, but then also adoption advocates as they become older.
Yeah, and I think, too, it brings an awareness and a compassion for just individuals with special needs that they'll have.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, Katie, can you share a story from your adoption journey with us?
One of my favorite stories is all those years that I prayed for, I really had a heart for adoption, and I wanted to adopt so badly, and there were times where I was just in tears before the Lord, and why am I not good enough? Am I not a good enough mom? Why are you not granting this to me? And I had to learn to let that go and be in God's timing, and that was really tough for me. And the day we sent off our referral paperwork, and it kind of, it locks in, you're matched with that child definitely because you've done all the work. That morning, I decided to just go in and look up what the name Lian means, L-I-A-N. And so I typed in on the computer, Lian, Chinese name meaning, and the first thing that popped up, Lian, God has answered. And I sat at the computer and I just cried because...
Because you prayed and prayed and prayed.
Yeah, like God was saying, what were you so upset for? I have answered.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. I love these God stories.
I know.
Wonderful. So now you are a professional artist, and you use your talent to help adoptive families fundraise for their adoption. So share with us how that works.
Goodness, that's been a long process in the making. I've had such a heart for adoption, and when it wasn't happening for me, I thought, okay, God, I have this talent, and I want to be able to use it to help other children get home, even if it's not happening for me. So I tried several different things, you know, should I auction art, should I, you know, do, I don't know, I tried several different things, and I finally settled on doing a drawing, because when we were adopting Lian, I had a piece of art, and I did where if everybody donated $5, they'd get their name into a drawing, and that piece of art did really well and raised some money for our adoption. So this past year, I decided I would start working with adoptive families and doing these drawings for them, and it's really taken off. I'm booked with fundraisers through February right now. Wow. And it's just such a blessing to be able to help families kind of bring in a really good chunk of money for their adoption. It tends to do very well. So that's been really exciting and totally an answer to prayer for me.
Wow. So you create a piece of artwork and then people donate money to take a chance to win that piece. Explain the process.
So actually, I have a lot of artwork built up. I'm a watercolor artist. I also do colored pencil, collage, those kinds of things. So a family will choose 6 pieces of art, and then I make a little video of the art and of their child and the family and information about the family. And they run the fundraiser for 2 weeks, and they say, for every $10 you donate, that's one name in the drawing. And at the end of the 2 weeks, they do a little video, and they do a name out of the drawing. And then whosever name is picked, they get to choose one of those original pieces of art, and then I just ship it straight to them. I don't take any money other than shipping from the fundraiser, and it's just a blessing to be able to create something beautiful and unique and gallery quality and know that it's helping a child get home. So it's a lot of fun to do that.
Wow. And what's the amount of money that a family has been able to raise towards their adoption through this kind of fundraiser?
Goodness, it depends on the family's social media presence. So I've had families make $500, and I've had families make $6,500.
Wow.
The average tends to be around $2,000 to $3,000 for this fundraiser, which I think is a good chunk of money considering most grants are about that much.
Yeah.
The process is they just call me. They have to have a completed home study. I do a little interview, and then we move forward from there. And I do the video and the graphics and pictures for them to share on social media, and they kind of have to get it going with their friends and family. But it does really well. It's exciting.
So there's no cost up front for the family other than the shipping to ship the piece of art once the person has won the piece of art. You provide the piece of art, and then you also provide the video and what they need to just promote it on social media. They just need to be social media savvy.
Yep. And I have a Facebook group called Adoption Cheerleaders, and they're my group of ladies that if I start a new fundraiser, they've committed to sharing it on their social media. So I think right now there's about 72 women on there.
Wow.
And they're awesome. I love them to death because every time I start a fundraiser, they just share it and it spreads. And that's how it works with social media, right?
Wow. Yeah, because anybody on social media could win if they make that $10 donation. They have the chance to win and get a beautiful piece of art. I was on your website. I checked out, and you just are incredibly talented. And I love that you're using that God-given talent to invest back in His kingdom and help families to adopt. That's incredible. I love that. And the average $2,000 raised for a family's adoption. And a lot of families are looking for creative ways to raise money for adoption. And that's a great way. So, Katie, where can our listeners learn more about the fundraisers and even view your beautiful artwork?
I have a page on my website. My website is artbykatie.com, but Katie is spelled C-A-D-Y, so it's not the traditional K-A-T-I-E. So it's artbykatie.com. My artwork is down there, and then there is a fundraising page that gives information of how the fundraisers work and what to do to start a fundraiser. So I try to make it as easy as possible on the parents because I know that adoption is tough with everything you have going on.
Wow. Yeah. And you said you're booked with these fundraisers through February?
Yeah.
Wow.
I have a book and a calendar, and I try not to overlap them too much because I need each family to have their own time and attention from me. I work with them pretty intensely those 2 weeks with making sure their stuff is up to date on their Facebook pages and Instagram. And if they aren't doing as well, I'll troubleshoot with them. I'll make an extra video with them with Leanne and I kind of holding up the art and doing something fun to draw in more attention. So it's a little bit time intensive for me, but I love it. And I love the end of the fundraiser where they tell me how much has come in. That's my favorite part.
That is wonderful. I love that. Yeah. So Katie, as we wrap up here today, what is on your heart that you really want our listeners to hear? What do you want them to take away from our conversation?
I think not to be afraid of adopting a child who has Down syndrome. Children who have Down syndrome are just like any other child. They're just a little bit delayed. The orphanages in other countries are full of children who have Down syndrome. And I can tell you that Down syndrome adoption has ruined me for any other type of adoption, because if we adopt again, we're definitely adopting another child who has Down syndrome. He has been a joy and a blessing to our family, and I'm just so glad that God led us down this path with him.
That is incredible. Now, you've also been part of a book on Down syndrome adoption. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, I was a compiler of a book. A publisher contacted me to find families to write their story about adopting children who have Down syndrome. And every family has a chapter in the book. And so I found all these families, and I kind of facilitated everything, collected all their stories and their photos. And that's going to be coming out I think sometime next year. I'm not sure of the exact date, but there really isn't a book out there right now, other than The Lucky Few, that talks about families who are adopting children who have Down syndrome. The great thing is that China and other countries never used to prepare these children's files because they thought that they were not adoptable, that nobody wanted them. And we are showing the world that these children have value, and yes, we want to adopt them. And please prepare their files. You know, we're coming to pick up our children.
Yeah, so you're spreading the word that Down syndrome children are not scary. This is not a scary thing.
Right.
Tell us your heart about these children.
Just the fact that so many of them are aborted before they even see the light of day, just based on the fact that they have an extra chromosome. These kids are, you know, they're happy and they're loving. I mean, they have all the emotions of any other kid. Liam gets mad sometimes and has bad days, but they really are a blessing to every family that I've come in contact with. And I've been in contact with a lot of families. Every family that has adopted a child who has Down syndrome is just blown away with how much of a blessing that child is for them. So if I could share my heart on that, to not be afraid of it, to ask questions, do your research, it's going to be a grand adventure, trust me. And if the Lord is leading parents to adopt a child who has Down syndrome and you're afraid, I would really recommend calling a family who's already been through the experience and being honest about your fears and listening to what works for them. Ask them about the good, the bad, the hard, how their communication skills are, what helps with communication. There's just a lot of good things you can ask. The one thing I will say is that I found that children who have Down syndrome are really good at sleeping. So they sleep through the night and they take naps. And a lot of other parents have said the same thing. It's as if God said, you chose this child with Down syndrome and I will grant you the gift of sleep, which has been wonderful. So ask questions, learn about their diet, learn about their health, what they can and can't eat, what will help their muscle tone. Ask questions about therapy, what's available in your area as far as what your schools do and what the different therapist options that are available. And a lot of states have an organization called Gigi's Playhouse. It's for just families who have children with Down syndrome. All of their programs are 100% free. And you can bring your child there for sign language classes, speech classes, song and dance classes. We have one about 30 minutes from us, and we've been there quite a bit, and I highly recommend that. So that's a good resource for families who are adopting children with Down syndrome.
Good advice. Do your homework, ask questions, and adopt. Mm-hmm. But these children deserve to be loved and to have a home, to have a family, and to live, because in not just in our country, but especially in other countries, most of them are aborted and never get a chance at life.
Yes, or they're institutionalized. So, yeah.
Yeah. So it's not a big, scary thing.
No, definitely not.
Adopt. Mm-hmm. So, Katie, thank you so much for saying yes to Leon and for sharing your heart and letting our listeners know that this is not a big, scary thing. These children need families. They are lovable and they love their families. And they people can go even on social media and check out your page. You always have those just so precious videos of Leon throughout the day. And I thank you for sharing those. And thank you for sharing your story.
Yes, thank you for having me. This has been great.
Oh, it's an honor. So thank you also for listening today. You can find more episodes on our website at justicefororphansny.org and also on iTunes, Google Play, and Podbean as our podcast. Just search for the show by name Orphans No More. Be sure to follow or subscribe to the podcast. Every 25th follower gets a free bag of Greater Things Roasters coffee. If you'd like to learn more about the fundraisers that Katie does for adoptions, you can go to her website. That's artbykatie.com. And Katie is spelled C as in cat, A, D as in dog, Y, artbykatie.com. You can learn more about her adoption fundraisers and view her incredible, beautiful pieces of art. So Justice for Orphans is a nonprofit ministry on a mission to rally the church for the cause of the fatherless. We inspire, educate, and equip the body of Christ to walk out James 1:27, whatever way God calls you. Learn more at justicefororphansny.org.
Thank you for supporting this program by listening today, sharing what you've heard, and praying for orphans and children in need everywhere. More information is available at justicefororphansny.org. Visit and discover how you can make a difference in a child's life. And be sure to tune in to Orphans No More next Friday.